Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, December 1st. I'm Ray Graff. Time for another one of our regular sessions with Chef Gail Sokol. Chef Gail is an educator, author, podcaster, and YouTube sensation. And just in time for the holidays, Gail wants to teach us the tricks to making the world's best gingerbread cookies. That's right. She modestly claims these are the greatest gingerbread cookies in the recorded history of humanity. And I'm told we'll be decorating cookies as well. This is a skill that is very low on my list of competencies, so we'll see how it goes. It's likely to be a disaster. Give us a call if you want to share your baking tips with Chef Gail and me, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, or email voxpop@wamc.org, gingerbread cookies, Chef Gail, and you, and it'll be a mess. We'll see you after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. We talk baking with our friend Chef Gail Sokol. Today, Gail is an educator, obviously a chef, author. She was a faculty member for years at Schenectady County Community College and the Sage Colleges in Troy. She is the author of a widely used textbook entitled About Professional Baking and a cookbook, Baking with Success. She is the star of an ever-expanding catalog of baking how-to videos on YouTube. And if you have a question today, the topic is gingerbread cookies and really any holiday baking you do. If you have a question, Chef Gail is a font of knowledge. 800-348-2551. What's your favorite holiday thing to bake? 800-348-2551. And we're going to decorate and such today, and I'm scared to death. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Gail Sokol, how are you?
Good. I'm pretty good. I'm feeling spicy, and I'm smelling spices in the studio. It smells delicious.
I hope those are spices. Yes, I think you're right. Yes, it smells like gingerbread in here.
It does.
The number to call is 800-348-2551. I watched your video about these very modestly titled greatest gingerbread cookies in the world, and you are exuberant in this one. You really love this.
These are one of my most popular videos. Right now, I'm going on 55,000 views.
Wow.
And it is my time. This is my time of year. This is my moment. These are my people. So this is when this gingerbread really comes to light. So I am excited about it. I have to make it every year. I love it. You can use it as a cookie gingerbread house. You can even make gingerbread decorations for your tree if you celebrate, whatever you celebrate. You can make any shape you want.
You know, I was looking across the glass as you were describing this, and Zach and our CFO, Jordan Yuxel, they were looking through the glass, and it was almost like they were wild animals ready to attack us. I think that these cookies may not last too long.
No, they do. They will never last too long. In my house, I make them, hide them, and then I have to dole them out to people. I give them to the mail lady. I give them to my daughter to bring to work. Everybody gets some cookies.
You know, my daughters will often buy those kits to make your own gingerbread houses.
Yeah.
You know, they'll do some architecture, slap them together. They don't taste very good.
You know what? Making them from scratch is so much more fun.
All right.
You make your gingerbread pieces day or two ahead. You can even make it longer than that. And then you make your special icing called royal icing. It's like cement, but it's edible.
I'm sorry. Say it again. The icing is like
royal
cement.
Icing, but it's known as edible cement.
Well, way to sell it. I mean, why would I want to eat cement?
It's because the basis of it. Now, you can buy what's called meringue powder to make it. It's got powdered egg whites in it. Or you can make it from scratch with egg whites. Egg whites, if you've ever left an egg white on a countertop or on a plate, it dries as hard as a rock.
Really?
So that's what royal icing basically is. It's confectioner's sugar, some form of egg white, and sometimes vanilla extract, lemon juice, and I put a little cream of tartar in mine because it actually stabilizes that particular icing. It's fabulous.
You know, we've talked about this before. You've written a textbook that is in use all over the place about professional baking, and so you just said you used Cream of tartar.
Just a little bit.
And how did it come to be that bakers realized that this was a vital chemical component?
Well, when you make a meringue, you add a little cream of tartar to your egg white anyway, and that is basically a stabilizing agent. It actually helps denature some of the proteins in those egg whites and makes them sturdier. So when you beat air into them, it holds and it stays longer. So we're not really making a meringue here. We're actually making like a creamy icing. And you can try one. I made snowflakes. I made gingerbread boys, stars.
This is beautiful. Anything you decorated this?
Yes.
Is this a pattern that you bought?
No.
You
take a toothpick and you do what's known as flooding.
Flooding.
Flooding. And I don't mean like a river. What you do is you take, if you notice, I'm going to hold up a snowflake, and you take a pastry tip, which you are going, a pastry bag with a pastry tip, or even the.
I'm going to do that.
You're going to do that.
That is an insane idea.
It's not that insane. And then you're going to outline your cookie, okay? You're going to let it harden, and then you're going to flood with a diluted amount of that same icing. You add a little more water to it so it gets more diluted. You see how I've sort of flooded the area?
Yeah, okay. And you have one that you're holding that is,
yes,
it has white basic icing.
Right, the frosting as a base.
And then it's got these beautiful red swirls that are very artistic.
Correct. So what I did, thank you. So what I did was I took another pastry bag, filled it with red icing, the same icing, but I dyed it with a gel food coloring, any color you want. And then I just took like streaks that I went across the six spokes of the snowflake. And then I took a toothpick and I just swirled it. And then it dries. You let it harden. And look, this was my newest one.
I love this.
I made stars.
See, the one I have, it's beautiful.
Yes,
but
it's
almost
like hearts.
Yeah.
Correct. And that's a very easy thing to do. We have a jolly gingerbread man.
Look at the size of that. You know, Zach the engineer gets this one. Zach,
and
look at that.
And then we have a giant.
It's bigger than your head. And that's pretty big.
A giant cookie. And this has almost a chevron pattern.
Ah.
So you make lines across the flooded area. And the flooded area should not dry because it's got to be liquid or you won't be able to drag the colors through. And then you take blue. I just put stripes. And then I went down one way, up the other way with the toothpick. Down one way, up the other way. So that's basically how you make a chevron pattern.
Amazing. So the icing is one thing, the dough quite another. And I tasted it. And clearly you are absolutely right. These are the world's greatest
They're fabulous. Cookies. And the reason I have a few tips and tricks. I have been making this dough with my kids' class, my baking camp and my baking classes for kids for 22 years. And the best way to roll out your dough, people call me crazy and I hear a lot of crazy talk on YouTube, is flip your sheet pan upside down, folks.
What?
It will turn your world around.
What are you talking about?
It is so much easier to roll out gingerbread dough upside down.
Why don't you just do it on the counter?
Because this dough is tender. This dough, you don't have to chill it. You roll it out. Because of the molasses, it creates a very soft, very tender dough. And I don't want to chill it. I don't want it to crack. I don't want it to get crumbly. So I roll it out immediately. I spray, no flour. I spray the bottom, you know, flip over your sheet pan, spray it with a little nonstick cooking spray or a little vegetable oil, rub it with your hands, and then put your dough on top. Don't laugh.
I'm not laughing.
And then roll it out. Roll it out all across the bottom of the sheet pan and then start cutting away with your cookie cutters and then cut off the excess dough and leave the cookies on the sheet pan.
Amazing.
And it bakes right on.
What do you do with the excess?
You re-roll it.
Oh.
You keep rolling till you drop.
How many of these do you make in a holiday season?
Well, right now, let's see, I have four and a half dozen probably I made.
Wow.
And this one recipe makes about two dozen, depending on how big your cookies are. Some you can see are huge.
Chef Gail Sokol is our guest today. We're baking, as we do very often on this program. And today, gingerbread cookies is the primary focus, but Chef Gail is ready to answer any question you have about delicious baking. The number here is 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. These are fairly thin. I imagine that if you are too aggressive in the oven, you can burn these easily.
Yes. So you have to be careful. They only bake for 6 minutes.
Really?
And if you have a hot oven, you got to watch it. So sometimes as the oven is heated over a period of time, my oven gets hotter and hotter. So I have to watch them. Now, would you like to decorate?
Well, we have a break coming
up. Okay, all right. So what we'll decorate after the break. All right. Well, we'll gear you up. You can do this.
I cannot do this. This will be a horrendous disaster.
No, it will not, because look what I've done. I took a pastry bag.
Yeah.
I put a plain, small, round pastry tip on the bottom. You can use anything you want. If you don't have a pastry bag, folks at home, if you don't have a pastry, and I know, Ray, you don't have a pastry bag at home.
My chefs might.
They might. Your daughters might, and your wife might. So what you might do is you fit it into the pastry bag, and you buy these at any home supply store, kitchen supply store.
Yeah.
Put it in, and then what I did was I put a twist tie on the bottom so that the frosting wouldn't go through yet, because I know when we're ready, we're going to be ready, but we got to guide you through this.
Yeah.
And then I filled it about halfway, and then I put another twist tie on the top just to stop it.
Couldn't you just do this coming up? Do I have to do it too?
I did it. I made beautiful cookies. Now I'd like you to experience the decoration of the holidays, Ray. You know you want to do it.
I'm scared. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. If we get enough calls, maybe we can delay this till the end of the show, right? We'll be right back. New Adventures in Radio here on a Food Friday. Chef Gail Sokol is here, and we are going to decorate gingerbread cookies, which is, frankly, not what I had expected, but we're doing it anyway. 800-348-2551 is the number if you want to talk about baking and gingerbread cookies or otherwise with Chef Gail. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Before we do this, let's just answer two emails that have come in early, way before the show. This is from, I'll just say D. I don't know this person's name. I heard you should never return someone's Tupperware empty. What's an easy and good treat to make someone as a thank you?
Oh.
Isn't that a nice?
I think that's lovely.
Yeah.
My daughter does that, and that is a beautiful thing to do. You could do something like something easy, like a bar cookie. Careful, it's going to come out.
Yeah.
And it's going to keep coming. Gravity works. So, a brownie is always nice because you can cut them into bars and they pack easily into these Tupperware bars. You can cover it with ganache and chill it. If it's going to be put through the mail, you don't want to put ganache on it. Or you could do any type of a drop cookie. A good chocolate chip cookie is always my go-to.
Why no ganache? Does it cost more to mail?
No. It'll just melt.
Did
you ever see mail rooms? They're hot sometimes.
Full of ganache.
All
right. This is from JP. Can you provide any tips on making successful shortbread cookies? Should I use a metal or clay pan? Also, any good recipe for shortbread with pecans?
Any of your special shortbread, as long as it's made with butter, is my suggestion. And you want to make sure that you chill your shortbread and then, relax that gluten after you make it. Shortbread is basically all butter, sugar,
why do they
flour.
Call it shortbread? It looks
because it shortens the fat shortens the gluten strands.
I don't know that.
So it's known as shortbread.
I never wrote a textbook.
It's so tender. If you've had shortbread, it melts in your mouth.
Really?
Start piping.
Hang on.
All right.
You hand me this weird thing that looks like
you've
a
never,
carrot.
Have you ever written with a pen?
Ever written with a pen?
I know. Whatever.
Well, I am in radio, so it's questionable.
Well, it may not be. So I have a question for you. You write with your right or your left hand?
I'm a righty.
Okay, so take your right hand. I'm a lefty.
Okay.
And you hold it, the upper hand on the top part, because you're going
like
to control.
This.
You're going to squeeze from the top.
All right.
Don't squeeze from the bottom.
I've heard that. Okay, you ready?
And then you're going to go either over your gingerbread or over your snowflake, can outline it. Now, you want to hold it like at 45 degrees to 90 degrees.
So I got to use backhand. Okay, Ready.
Okay.
And so what am I going to make, though?
You're going to, well, look what I'm doing. I'm just going to outline.
No, look at you.
See? I'm going to outline
okay,
the
I can
edges.
Do that.
You can do this, right?
Oh, look, I made an eyeball on the snowman.
Did you ever color in the lines when you were a little boy?
Oh, that was a difficult
sort
thing
of like
for me.
This.
Got to put eyebrows on this guy.
Okay, so put eyebrows.
Always got a unibrow. I'll be darned. Okay.
Oh.
What do you think about a tie there?
Oh, wow. Sure.
Okay.
Oh, frightening. Okay, that's
good. I'm
going
to tie an ascot here. And,
all right.
This is really disastrous.
Keep going. Keep piping. Okay. And then when you're done, just stop squeezing.
Gail, did you ever make anatomically correct ones of these?
I did.
You did?
I did. For an adult-only New Year's Eve party. And everyone had such a good time. It was so much fun. I just wanted everyone to notice.
Well,
I was like, this is fun.
This is not, I'm not doing well.
Okay, you can release. Yeah, oh, wow.
You like that?
Yeah.
No, it's not
that
good.
It looks like you made his stomach, you know, like the inside, like you did the... radiologically, you did the inside.
Right. This is actually an MRI of a snowman. That's exactly
And if you
correct.
Had some sprinkles, you could have, you know, placed them strategically for intestines.
Okay, so... you know what? I might just do it. All right, so we'll do one more here, and then we'll hit the phones. 800-348-2551. Chef Gail Sokol is our guest. We're decorating gingerbread cookies for some strange reason. Now, this one's a star, right?
Right, so,
or it's a
no,
snowflake.
This is a snowflake.
Okay.
So go see what I did. Look. Go around the outer edges.
All right, here we go.
Just like you would for, color by number.
What do you mean, ooh?
Well,
what kind of a response is that?
You may need to hold it with your other hand.
Why? You think I'm that uncoordinated here?
I'm not going to answer that.
Well, you know
what? Wow. Okay, so this is...
Okay.
This is interesting.
Well, I mean...
Ho-ho!
What the heck?
You know what? It's not bad. You're dragging. Don't drag.
Don't
lift
drag.
Lift it up. Now stop.
Okay. All right.
Now you want to make spokes.
Okay.
So go from one to the other.
This is
like straight down.
Yes. Let's never speak of this again.
Why not? You're having fun.
Really?
And you know what? If you make a mistake, you eat it.
Okay.
Who cares?
I think I've done made a mistake.
Okay. No, that looks beautiful. Now go the other way.
This one?
Yes.
Okay. Look, I'm doing this one-handed. Gail.
Now watch this. Now you got to make the little fun.
I'm sorry. This could take hours. The show will be over.
No, look. You just make little... You've got to finish the snowflake.
But...
Finish it.
Finish
it.
Finish it. Boy, you're
the snowflake.
Tough love
and
from Chef Gail.
And look how pretty it looks. And then if you want, you can put sprinkles or you can put edible sugar.
Zach the engineer, I made you some gingerbread cookies. Do you want them? Look at that, huh?
Well, they'll taste the same.
It's a mutant snowman really bad snowflake.
It looks very nice. Now it looks like a tie on that gingerbread boy.
Well, what'd you think it was?
I thought it was a stomach.
Here, you better tie this up again. We've got to go to the phones.
All right.
This is 800-348-2551 is the number. Chef Gail is here for her last appearance on the program, oddly enough. No. Let's go to our friend Joan. There's a couple Jones on the line. We got one in Albany and then one 20 miles away in Schenectady. Joan in Albany, you're on.
Hi, Ray, and hi, Gail.
Hi.
And I listen to Ray every day. I'm WAMC.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you.
Person.
Thank you.
So, Gail,
yes.
I'm going to give you a recipe that I want you to write down.
Wow.
Okay.
Here's a pen.
Okay. I got a pen.
Because, get a pen.
Are you going to one-up Gail on this? You're going to have a better recipe?
Well, you know what? I'm not trying to one-up her. She will know.
All right. Fair enough.
Okay, Joan. I'm ready for you.
Okay. This is a recipe for my dear mother, and it's 50 years old, and I make it every year. And the reason I'm calling is because there's all kinds of gingerbread recipes. This one rolls out like silk.
Yep. Mine does, too. It's wonderful. Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So maybe it's the same thing.
Go ahead.
And tell me if it's the same thing. So here it goes. This is one recipe. Now, I usually double it. Let's just do one. 2/3 cup molasses.
Okay.
2/3 cup dark brown sugar. 1 tablespoon ginger. I sort of am heavy on that one.
Okay.
2 tablespoons cinnamon. And half tablespoon allspice, half teaspoon cloves, and a little bit of salt. Then 2 teaspoons baking soda, 1 cup butter cut up, 1 egg.
Okay.
3¾ flour. Let's move on. Bring the first 6 ingredients to a boil. Stir and remove from heat. Add baking soda. Mix well to a foam. Stir in butter, 3 pieces at a time. Let melt.
Okay.
Add that egg. Stir. Add salt and flour.
Yeah.
Transfer dough into discs.
Discs.
I do them in wax paper and chill.
Interesting.
And okay. Then roll it out.
Okay.
Okay.
How is your recipe?
It's very, very similar. So what I'm doing is I'm melting my butter. You're not melting your butter. And I'm adding it to my sugar, molasses, and my egg. And I'm whisking that up and adding it to all my dry ingredients, my flour and all my spices.
Okay. It's similar.
I hate to say it, but they're all sort of related to each other. But they are amazing. And you are you're very liberal with your spices, but that is wonderful because you're using a little bit more, 1¾ cups flour.
I'm
more
heavy-handed,
than mine.
Yes.
Okay.
Joan,
yeah, it looks
that's
good.
Spectacular. Thanks
Thank
for the call.
Thank you very much. I'm going to try it, Joan.
800-348-2551 is the number. While you and Joan were chatting amiably, I took a picture of the shortbreads, gingerbreads I decorated.
Okay.
And
yes.
Texted them to my wife.
Yes.
And Mrs. Graff said, I'm hired.
Oh.
She thought they were that good.
See, they are. Oh, yes.
I think she might just be humoring me.
No. They are wonderful.
All right.
You're a natural.
Let's go to another Joan. This Joan is in Schenectady. 800-348-2551 if you wish to speak with Gail Sokol. Joan in Schenectady, you're on.
Hi, thanks, Ray, and hi, Gail. It is so soothing to speak with you and your voice. Thank you.
Thank you.
The last Joan provided a lot of details about spice mixes and such.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Now, I don't mind going a little savory. Usually I find ginger cookies just a touch maybe sweet.
Okay.
So I want to go not savory, but
less
just
sweet.
A little bit. I'm still playing with the garam masala on just about everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. You know, the other thing you could do if you like spice, add a little pepper. Add a little ground black pepper. You could even use a little bit of cayenne. I would go easy on the cayenne, but that would spice them up a little bit. And you could do a little, your garam masala, that would be lovely. That would give it a completely different air. You just don't want to overdo it.
Yeah.
Have you ever made gingerbread cookies with those? With that spice?
With those particular spices? No, but I find that everything I make, I'm like, now what am I missing? Oh yeah, here we go. it's a go-to. And you can blame Vox Pop.
Okay.
Friday for that.
Fair
second.
Enough.
That's where
fine.
I first heard
okay.
the term.
It's all right.
And then once I've got that, I can kind of sort of taste this now.
Yeah.
What about like icing? What are we looking like? Delicate cream cheese on that?
It depends on what you're doing with your gingerbread cookies. So if you're making rounds and they're I'm sorry. You're eating them. Oh, I hear you. You're a woman of my own heart. So, you can make like a sort of a sandwich cookie if you wanted, with a ginger, a cream cheese, some sort of a cream cheese simple buttercream.
Yeah.
Or you could even, just stick them together with a white ganache. You could even put chopped ginger in them. A crystallized chopped ginger would be lovely in those gingerbread cookies,
Ooh.
Joan. So that would give it a little more, sort of a little spiciness and a little bit more heat, especially along the lines with the garam masala. That would be wonderful. But I would, you could do definitely a cream cheese icing or a regular vanilla buttercream without cream cheese and just all butter.
Ah.
What do you think?
I'm liking all of those suggestions. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Joan.
You're welcome.
Have a great weekend. We appreciate the call. 800-348-2551 is the number. Chef Gail Sokol is our guest today. We talked baking with Gail, and today she made gingerbread cookies, and we decorated some. Hers look a lot better than mine.
That's not true.
No, it's true. And let's go to Troy. Andrea, you're on. Hi.
Hello.
I make Christmas cookies every year using my mother's recipe. And they are a filled cookie. So we roll out dough, put a filling in, roll up the dough, and cook it. And then slice it into, so it's in a log, slice it into pieces, and then ice them and decorate them.
Let me interrupt for one second. So you're rolling it up into like a spiral, and then you don't slice them right away. You bake them.
Well, it's not a spiral. It's a log.
Okay, but you're rolling them up, though, right?
We bake, yes.
Okay.
So I roll out the dough, put in the filling in a line.
Okay.
Then roll the dough up over the filling.
Okay.
So that I have a log, and then bake that.
Okay.
Slice the cookies, bake them again, and then ice them.
Okay. Oh, they sound delicious.
They are. They're wonderful. The filling is dates and figs and nuts and all sorts of whiskey and stuff like that.
Ooh,
so really that sounds good.
Now you have my interest. Go ahead.
Raise attention.
My problem is that the dough on top of where the filling is often cracks, so I can't put that really smooth icing on top because decorate it because it's cracked. So my mom's recipe calls it, my mom passed away many years ago, so I can't ask her this. It calls for shortening. I like how butter tastes. So I had been using butter, but I'm wondering what I can do to make the dough stronger so it doesn't crack over where the filling is.
Okay, so there's a couple reasons why the dough might crack. I don't know if you're doing this, if your oven is hot, but sometimes when you see cracks, sometimes that means you've overbaked them. If you slightly underbake, by seconds, maybe the cracking, like keep watching and monitoring towards the end of baking, maybe do a minute less and it might have some carryover cooking when you take it out of the oven and it won't crack. The other thing you can do is make a thicker icing, which will cover the cracks. So you don't just want to do a glaze, do a thicker icing.
Yeah, I've done that. Well, I was wondering if I knead the dough so that it brings up the gluten. Will that make it a stronger dough and less likely to crack?
It just may taste tougher to people. So the other thing you could do is add a little more flour so that your dough is stiffer.
Aha.
Uh-huh.
What type of flour do you use? All-purpose?
I use an all-purpose. Well, actually, I have used at the co-op. You can get a white flour with germ restored. And I figured that was a little bit healthier than having the germ taken out. So I had been using that, but in general, just a all-purpose white flour.
Okay. Have you noticed the cracking since you've used this different type of flour?
No, it's always kind of been a problem.
An issue. Okay. You might want to take a small amount of that flour out and put in either some bread flour or just increase your flour by maybe a quarter of a cup. I mean, I'd have to see your dough and feel your dough. Awful as that sounds.
Yeah, hey,
sort of feel if it. Do you chill the dough before you roll it out?
Yes.
Okay. So it's pretty firm when you roll it out.
Quite firm, actually. Maybe maybe a little too firm. It does crack around the edges.
Okay, so that might be also an issue. You could also go half shortening, half butter. And experiment a little bit. Shortening has a higher melting point, and it's more of a plastic fat. It's known as a plastic fat because it can stay basically the same consistency over several intervals of temperature.
Yeah.
But butter does taste better. So I would try a little bit of, I would use all-purpose flour, forget the germ, you know, that special flour, try all-purpose flour and just substitute maybe a quarter of a cup of bread flour to dry it up a little bit, get it a little bit firmer, and that'll increase your gluten too. And then hold back on the baking by like a minute.
Okay. Hey, we're overdue for a break here, Drea. Thanks for the call. 800-348-2551 is our number. Chef Gail Sokol is our guest. We'll hit the email bag in a minute. Vox Pop on WAMC. It's a Food Friday. Chef Gail Sokol is here. We're having such fun with the gingerbread cookies. By the way, Gail, I tweeted out while you were chatting with Drea, I tweeted out a picture of the two that I very poorly did and the one that you did. And I asked people, oh, is it X, whatever it is, any of my followers to see if they could tell which one is yours. I think it's a pretty easy trick.
I don't know.
All right, let's check the email back here. Okay, this is from Alex, listening in Glenville. Does Gail have any local classes for adults, non-college course? It would be a fun date night, says Alex.
Yeah, it actually would. And I am trying to develop some classes like that.
Like you have time.
I know, like I have time. I really don't have a lot of time. I would love, if you had a venue for me, Alex, I would consider doing it.
Okay.
I really would.
All right, so this is from Lisa. Christmas fruitcake is the subject heading. I make traditional English fruitcake every year, but I haven't made it yet this year, and I'm late. The good news, Lisa, is Gail knows a lot about fruitcake. They go back to ancient Egypt,
I believe.
Correct?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm not a lover of fruitcake, but...
Didn't we do a show about it?
We did not do a show about it, but you had a listener that... like pickled her fruitcake for like since the summer brandy and just kept flipping it over and adding more brandy every time it got dry. And I think maybe it's a doorstop now.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Was also pickled in brandy.
She was a lovely lady, but who knows?
Of course.
But fruitcake, I mean, start it now. All different types of fruitcake. Some fruitcakes are more fruit than cake. And that's really what they should be. That should be more of the fruit being held together.
Yeah.
Many grocery stores now are having the candied fruit, the candied pineapple and the cherries, the green and the red. And they're all out there now. So now is your time. Now is your moment to make that fruitcake. And definitely soak it. Once it's made, soak it with a little... brandy, whatever. I've made it with Frangelico. I've made a hazelnut fruitcake.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Very good.
Did you bring any of that?
I did not. All right. I was too busy making your gingerbread.
No, it's very, very nice.
So next time.
Okay.
So really go to town, make your fruitcakes, give them as gifts. A lot of people don't like fruitcake. It's got like a bad rap.
It's delicious.
I know. It's delicious.
I love it.
I agree.
All right. This is from Stephen in Charleston, South Carolina already.
Oh.
Hello, says Stephen. Hello, Stephen. What's the best molasses to use for gingerbread cookies?
You know what? Any brand that I just use any brand I find in the grocery store.
You go down to Agway and get a big barrel of it?
That I do not do. No, but I do have about 3 or 4 bottles at a time because I make so much gingerbread.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, just use a high quality gingerbread. You know, don't get it off someone's truck. And it should be fine.
Do white trucks, white vans come up with gingerbread and molasses?
You never know.
You know what? You live on the mean streets out there in the suburb. Debbie in Ballston Spa writes, I know it isn't appropriate for gingerbread, but I'm looking for a recipe for a glaze-type frosting that'll stay soft. Not a buttercream, something that is runny and sticky to put on my Christmas morning cinnamon buns. Best thing I can compare it to is the stuff that comes on prepackaged coffee cakes, coffee ring, etc. I've tried many different things, but I can't come up with anything that actually stays soft and sticky.
Okay. So simple icing, which is sort of an offshoot of this edible cement. But it's at the other end of the spectrum, Ray.
Okay.
So this gets firm because it's got that meringue powder or egg white in it. Now, what she wants to do is make a simple icing, sort of like what you know, the cinnamon buns of your childhood when your mother didn't make them.
Yeah.
You bought them and then you got this little tiny container and you smeared it all over and it stayed delicious and ooey and gooey. So it's basically as much confectioner's sugar as you want. And then any liquid that you decide to put on, whisk it in, but very little at a time. You've got to control the hand that pours the liquid. If you put in too much liquid, you'll end up with a runny mess that will look like water. So you want something that's drizzleable.
Drizzle,
you know, you can drizzle it.
Yeah.
That's a new word.
Drizzleable.
And then drizzle it on. You could add orange juice. You could add liqueur. You could add anything you want, from water to milk to cream, anything you want. And then I made an ube brioche bun. I used ube extract.
What's
to give
ube?
It. Ube is a purple, it's a Filipino purple sweet potato. And I have a video on this ube, giant ube brioche bun. So it looks like a giant cinnamon roll, but it feeds tons of people.
Now, when you said giant, you made something that was the
10 inches.
Yeah,
10 inches.
The size of a garbage can lid.
10 inch round. And it's amazing. And people are coming to me to buy them. They're just,
really?
My video just went up a few weeks ago. It's amazing.
By the way, let me stop you there. While you mentioned the video, I put the video of you making the gingerbread cookies on our page at Vox Pops.
Thank you.
If you go to WAMC.org, and then that's a good launching point. You can see all the other 8,000 videos that Gail has done.
Yeah, I have almost 400, about
really?
400 right now.
Wowzers.
395. Yeah.
And this is from Deb. When I was young, a local grocery store made a cookie that was between a shortbread and a sugar cookie. They were about a quarter inch thick, very short but crispy. It had a piped rosette of chocolate on top. I've tried many recipes, have not found the right one. Hope you can help. And that's from Deb.
Yeah, that's something you have to experiment with, Deb, because I've done the same thing, and I know what you're talking about. I've purchased those cookies before, and they're usually shortbread cookies. Some of them are in a log. They make them in a log, so it's like a refrigerator cookie.
Yeah.
And then you allow it to get firm, but it's got to be a real solid round and roll it. And then you can either freeze it or refrigerate it till it gets nice and hard and then cut it. So depending on how thick you cut it will determine whether it's chewy and softer, almost cake-like, or crisper. And it depends on what you do. You gotta experiment. Some of these places will use different ingredients or maybe something that you might not have that's only available, you know, for an institutional type of a place.
Right. Well, you're a crisp cookie person, right?
I mean, no, these are, I like gingerbread soft and chewy.
But why'd you make these are perfect?
I like them because remember what molasses is, Ray. Remember your science. Molasses is a hygroscopic sugar. It's a type of sugar, and it absorbs water or moisture from the atmosphere. So these cookies, anything with molasses, will actually stay nice and sort of on the soft. So, I mean, if they're crisp, they will soften over time.
Remember my science. You're talking to a broadcaster.
As if you took science, right?
Well, I took science.
I forgot.
But it was long ago, there were things such as physics. It was well before that. Lucy writes, can Gail provide the recipe for the gingerbread, which I put on our webpage?
Yes, it's up. It's up.
And there are links to all Gail's stuff, but you can find the recipe and the video at WAMC.org. Just look for today's Food Friday page. It should be a link right on the front page at this time. This is from Mandy. And by the way, if you want to call, we still have time. 800-348-2551. Mandy writes, any tips to melt white chocolate for dipping cookies, etc.? I've tried a double boiler and a microwave, but it always seizes up into a hard blob.
Okay. It depends on what type of white chocolate you're using. So you want to use a very high quality white chocolate, and you don't want to get one that's got fake shortenings in them. You really want cocoa butter.
Yeah.
Because white chocolate is just vanilla flavored cocoa butter. It's just flavored fat. That's all white chocolate is. It's really not even chocolate.
I love that.
It's just like I told you, there's no Santa Claus. Well, it's, you know, it's the same idea. So white chocolate is flavored fat, so you got to get high quality fat. So if you get a good high quality white chocolate and it seizes, you can always try to add a little bit of vegetable oil, like a neutral oil like canola, corn oil, very little bit, like a teaspoon or two, and whisk it gently. I always put mine over a double boiler, but simmer the water, about an inch or two of water in a pot, small pot, and then get a bowl that fits over that, that doesn't touch the water, because otherwise you're going to be, you're going to actually be seizing your chocolate up.
Hang on, though. Just wait a minute. Now, if you put a metal pot full of water.
Yeah, small one.
And then you put a ceramic bowl and it touches the metal.
Who said ceramic?
Well, what kind of bowl are you talking
about? Well, you use something that's heatproof, like Pyrex or stainless steel, okay? And then you put it, you let, take the water, bring the water to a boil, take it off the heat. Don't keep it on the heat. Then put your chocolate in that top bowl. It should never touch. The bottom should never touch. It's only the steam from that boiling water or that simmering water that should touch the bottom of the bowl.
Yeah.
That's what melts the chocolate. The other thing you can do, and you can go to a kitchen supply store to get these, little tiny, like, I don't know, they're like little tiny chips of cocoa butter. It instantly smooths out your white chocolate. I had this happen to me recently. I was melting some white chocolate. It did not go as planned. And I threw in a few of these little, you know, like they look like little mini chips.
I'll be darned.
And it's I know vegetable oil would have worked too, but cocoa butter, oh my God, it's like smooth as silk.
Genius. Okay. Now, you don't want to use a microwave for this?
I usually don't. You can if you want to. You got to watch it because a little bit too much heat and microwaves are not even all around. You could scald. You could actually, you know, it could actually seize up.
Well, when I was melting Velveeta recently, I used 50% power on the microwave.
Little different.
It worked pretty well. Gail Sokol's our guest. 800-348-2551 is the number. You think I'm joking.
You make me laugh.
David in Saratoga writes, I added baking soda into the mix of my peanut brittle immediately rather than after the sugar mixture reached 300. The baking soda would not let the mixture exceed 227 degrees. Why?
Oh, interesting. I don't know. I know baking soda will cause a reaction where the acidity of the sugar will actually cause the baking soda to form this neutralization reaction and form carbon dioxide bubbles, which aerates the whole thing. So the brittle is not so dense. And that's the whole purpose of the baking soda. So obviously, something went awry at the stage that he put it in, and it didn't have time to blend in and aerate everything.
Honestly, David, I think that's a question for the science forum.
No kidding.
And we have a science forum coming up on Thursday. So bring that one up again if you are listening. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Gail Sokol's our guest. Kevin's in Newburgh. Kevin, you're on.
Hello, folks. How you doing?
Hi.
A question about cookies my mom used to make. I'm 67, so she's long gone. But I remember as a kid, there were lace coconut cookies that she used to do freehand on a baking sheet. That's all I remember. It was like a drizzled thing, like a freehand, flat, very thin.
Okay.
Lace cookie, I guess she called them.
Yep, and they're like a wafer cookie, so they were super, super thin, like really almost like see-through.
That's right. They were, and they're totally sugary. I know that.
Yeah, they're known as a tuile, or it's actually French. A tuile in French, it's French for roof tile, and it's a very thin, it's a category of cookie known as a wafer cookie, and they spread super thin because of the sugar. There's usually corn syrup, just a little bit of flour, and they bake in just a few minutes, and then and they're very pliable when you first take them off the sheet pan, and then they firm up.
Yeah, I remember them kind of being kind of rubbery, but they were so good.
They're excellent, and they're just so beautiful. Mm. Yeah.
Kevin, thanks a lot for the call. Have a great weekend. This is from SJ. dark or light molasses for your gingerbread?
Dark.
Dark?
Dark.
Why?
Oh, yeah.
What's the difference?
I have never seen lighter molasses. I've only seen, non-sulfured molasses. That's what they sell in the grocery store. And I have not seen light molasses.
Why don't you try it?
Never heard of it.
Why don't you look
I don't
for
know.
It?
Yeah.
Wait, you wrote a book.
I like the dark molasses because it goes very nicely with the things that the molasses are going in, like gingerbread. You don't want it to be like, look like a sugar cookie.
Right.
You want it to look like gingerbread. So you want it to have that sort of tan look. I love that look. I love that burnished, bread. That's what you're getting from the molasses and the spices. And that's what I want.
Can I tell you that these really are tremendous?
They really are good. Thank you.
I thought you were just bragging.
No.
When I saw the video.
No.
And you're going on and on about how great. You were actually right.
They're very, very good. And I do hope, I hope people tune in. And there's another video on me actually decorating them. And I have some great videos coming up, too.
Should I help you do the next one on the video?
No.
Let's go back to the phones. Juan is in Kingston. Juan, you're on.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hi.
Question about sponge candy. Your comment a little while ago about adding baking soda to brittle sparked this memory in me. I tried for years and years to replicate my friend's great aunt's candy that she would make every year, and she highly guarded this recipe, and it was willed to another family member, and we're no longer in touch, and I couldn't do it. But it's almost like a brittle that kind of melts and evaporates and crumbles in your mouth when you eat it, and I cannot figure out to the life of me how she did it, and I'm wondering if you have any insight on that.
Well, there's sponge candies that they all have the baking soda, but they are, they can be a little tricky. Have you made this?
I've tried many times. Apparently, an important part of the recipe is you have to do it when the air pressure is falling.
Oh, come on.
What? And the stars are out and aligned? Oh, come on.
I love that, though.
Juan,
yeah, that
really
makes sense. That's another one for the science forum.
I know.
No.
All right, so what do you think, Gail?
I don't know. I don't know what he's... I mean, they mostly have granulated sugar, corn syrup, and baking soda. And I mean, it depends on your timing, and you got to stir it. It will bubble up, and then you have to pour it into your container, whether it's a sheet pan or your square pan, as quickly as possible, and just let it harden up. I've made it peanut butter flavored. I've made various types, but I have not made a huge amount of sponge candy.
I'm having trouble visualizing this. I don't think I ever had this.
It looks like it's got like holes in it. It's like a little square, and it looks like it's got holes.
Interesting.
Right?
It's like the inside of a Whopper.
Whopper?
Seen. Okay. All right. I don't know if I would explain.
Oh,
it like
you
that.
Mean a Whopper candy? I thought you meant a Whopper.
Oh, a Whopper candy. I thought you meant a hamburger.
Yeah, because now I'm thinking about a hamburger.
No,
okay. All right. Yeah, and you're trying to keep the bubbles intact when you pour it in, so you don't want to overstir and actually allow those bubbles to escape too much, because that's part of the sponginess. And if you don't do that and you get all the bubbles out, you're going to break your teeth.
Okay. Hey, Juan, we're done here. Thank you for the call. You ever
make
circus peanuts?
No. Are they like candied?
You've
candied
never seen
peanuts?
Circus peanuts?
No.
Look it up on your phone now. They're shaped like peanuts, but they're soft, and they're made of some sort of artificial material, and they used to sell them to kids. And
aren't they just covered? They're just covered. Yeah, they're covered in sugar. Oh, I know what you're talking about. That.
Yeah.
Like an actual peanut shape.
Yeah. You ever do those?
Ew.
Come on, Gail.
Oh, it's got gelatin, pectin, soy protein.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay, you got it.
That's in my book.
Eat more natural stuff, Ray.
All right, Gail Sokol, we're done here. How do people find your stuff online?
They go to my website, chefgailsokol.com. They can also find me on YouTube. On my Chef Gail Sokol YouTube channel.
And again, you can, if you can't remember Gail's name, and some shows at the end, I can't remember Gail's name, but today I do.
Thank you.
Go to our website, WAMC.org, and then look for Vox Pop, and you'll see Gail's video for today's gingerbread baking. And then there's a link there to the recipe. And from there, you will find all things Gail Sokol. Hey, fun show.
Fun show.
Terrifying show. And these are... My handiwork was going to be tossed out.
You're going to eat it, so who cares?
I don't know. Well, support comes from Farms to Tables, presenting the Epicurean in Rhinecliff, a neighborhood grocery market featuring local products at Coffee, and River Valley Co-op in Northampton and East Hampton, supporting local farmers and featuring local produce, dairy, meat, and cheese, rivervalley.coop. Once again, thanks to the great Chef Gail Sokol for being here today. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Zachary Malloy, our engineer. Thanks to James Farrison, a very big muckety-muck at the station, who came down and volunteered to screen the calls today. James, thank you. I'm Ray Graff. Hey, on Monday, you know, holidays are a headache, right? Well, we'll have a headache doc here. Dr. Hita Nirenberg of Nuvance Health will be with us to tell you how to ease the pain. We'll see you Monday at 2. Have a splendid weekend.